right, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Gym Fear Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. I do appreciate you putting up with my bullshit. Okay, so this week has been kind of hellish for a lot of people. Pretty much a bad week all around. Just gonna go ahead and come out and say it. This is I had to for starters, I had to re-record the podcast because that is take two on Friday. So, you know, last night I tried to record it. I was really, really lackluster. I was very tired from work, and I think the hours that I've been pulling between my job and my YouTube channel kind of started to take their toll a little bit, if you know what I mean. You know, doing 18-hour days or so for about 3 months will start to get to you after a while. Then I had another problem with the whole Dark Souls thing. I got a new processor for my computer, got it installed. Fucker still won't work. So I tried to, and here's a warning for you guys, when you're buying via Humble Bundle, if you redeem the product on Steam and quote-unquote play it, they're not going to give you a refund. And because I got the product on Humble Bundle, it doesn't show up in my Steam transactions. So Steam's not going to refund the money, and because I've got about an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of quote-unquote playtime trying to get past the title screen, Humble Bundle's not going to refund my money either. So, yeah, that's how pissed off I got, guys. You can ask Mama Midnight. I was very, very fucking upset there on Wednesday. I put my computer in the shop for pretty much all of Wednesday, and found out exactly how fucking sad it is, how much of my, like, entertainment and just time when I'm off work that I spend on the computer. You know, especially with all of my books packed up in boxes and shit. It was really, it wasn't difficult to find something to do, but, you know, just, you know, I think I might need to step away from the computer for a little while, but I can't because I have to keep making content for you guys, because this is my second job. Even though I'm not getting paid for it, it is something that I love to do, and I don't want to stint you guys on content just because I can't deal with being disconnected from the internet. But, no, I had my Kindle, and I started reading Battlefield Earth again, because I never did finish that book. It's a great novel. I just never finished it. If you don't know, Battlefield Earth is about 14 basquillion pages long, and there's two main parts of the book. It starts off, I'll just give you like a basic breakdown of the plot. It starts off with the aliens have already taken over Earth. They already own Earth. It's a mining planet for them. They're just after Earth's resources. That's it. And they own the planet. They've basically damn near wiped out humanity. There's just a few pockets of human tribes living out there in the wilderness near radiation, near uranium, because uranium is poisonous to the aliens. And one of the aliens catches a human, and this human turns out to be very intelligent, and teaches him how to speak the aliens' language and how to write and read, and keeps giving him little tidbits of information, which this human then uses to mount a resistance against the aliens. And eventually, it's not really that big of a spoil. It's a really, really good book. Like, you should read it anyway. But eventually, they drive the aliens off of Earth. I'm not going to tell you how. I'm not going to tell you what specifically happens. But they do get rid of the aliens. And then there's kind of this void where the aliens are. And that the first half of the book is the human resistance against the aliens. And it's amazing. It's great. I've read it twice. The second half of the book is where I always get hung up, and it's like politics. It's like intergalactic politics. Because now there's this resource-rich planet. We have gold, which is why everybody wants Earth. And then all of these different aliens start coming here to kind of take over where the original aliens left off. And the humans have to pretend like they're big bad shit to basically keep their planet. They have to go from being a tribal society to intergalactic players like that. And that was the part that always got me hung up. So I'm going to finish it this time. It's a really good book. I highly recommend you go out and get it. Either paperback or Kindle. It's on Kindle. That's how I'm reading it. But it's a really amazing book. If it was in public domain, I'd do a fucking audiobook of it. But I can't because it's fucking written in 1980 or something. And it's not going to be in public domain until probably after I'm dead. Like, there are so many books out there that I want to do audiobooks of, but I'm not going to be able to because they're not going to be in public domain until I die. So I'm thinking about just, like, recording them and setting aside a, a hard drive? Like, an external hard drive with all of these fucking audiobooks and shit on it. And then just having them be uploaded after I die when they finally come into public domain. And no one will have to know about it. No one will be able to know about it because it'll just be sitting quietly in my room. I'll remand it to my brother's care and he can take care of all of that shit after I inevitably die at the age of 50. From all of the boozing and smoking that I do. Speaking of. But, yeah, so there's that. And Dark Souls 3 still won't work and I can't get a refund. I'm very, very salty about that. Still very salty about that. But, apart from that, we had the, Tuesday? I want to say Tuesday was the Republican primary, or it was New York's primaries. They did both of them. And this has kind of proven to me that New York is shit place full of shit people. Because guess who won by fucking landslides in New York? Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton got, like, more than double the amount of votes that Donald Trump got. So if that doesn't tell you who's gonna win, because, I mean, let's face it, let's be honest here. Donald Trump is a fucking liberal. He's a Democrat. We have footage of him talking about how he supports, like, partial birth abortions and all of this other stuff. Donald Trump is, I have this conspiracy theory that I haven't broached to anyone yet, because I don't really think it's necessarily true, but you could kind of make this case that Donald Trump is actually a Clinton plant in the Republican Party to divide it. Because for the longest time in the primaries, he's been, like, a caricature of all of the things that are basically wrong with the Republicans. And he's been getting a lot of support based on his flaunting or his disregard of political correctness. And he and Hillary are good friends. They went to each other's weddings and their children's weddings. And Donald Trump has donated money to Hillary when she was campaigning and, you know, before this election. And stuff like that. So you could make the case that Donald Trump is a plant in the Republican Party by Hillary to secure her the nomination. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but there is an argument to be made there, I think. But we'll never know, so it might as well not be true. So Donald Trump won, like, a landslide. He got, 91 delegates in New York. And then Kasich got, 6, I want to say, and Ted Cruz came away with 0. But, like, the difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton is all you need to know if you're a Republican to tell you who's going to win in a general election. It's going to be Hillary. Hillary's going to outclass Donald Trump, like, by miles. And like Ben Shapiro said, it's ridiculous because she is an eminently beatable candidate. She's saying some of the dumbest shit that nobody in their right fucking mind would go along with. And yes, if you're a Hillary supporter, I'm calling you stupid. I'm calling you stupid. Like, her policies are just off the fucking wall, out, batshit crazy, direct mail from Loonbag Town. And she's a fucking criminal. She's a criminal. She's a goddamn criminal. There's the Benghazi scandal, there's the email servers, there's the shit that she pulled back when she was an attorney. The fucking intimidation against Bill Clinton's alleged rape victims and sexual, what would you call it? Aggression? No, it's... I don't remember what the exact term is, but sexual assault. That's it. That's it. Yeah, his alleged sexual assault and rape victims, and she's, like, apparently personally intimidated these people. But, yeah, no, Hillary Clinton is a fucking scumbag, and if you vote for her, you're fucking dumb. You are dumb. I feel the same way about Trump voters, honestly. Like, Trump is a fucking scumbag. He's everything wrong with everything. He's been lying to people since this election started. And if you get taken in by that, then you need to seriously reevaluate your mental space, man. But, not that I agree with Cruz on everything. This is another thing that's been bothering me about this election cycle, is that there's a lot of hero worship going on. There's a lot of, as Ben Shapiro calls it, great leader, talk. And Donald Trump is the great leader for somebody, and Bernie Sanders is a great leader figure, and Hillary Clinton is a great leader figure. And it happens in Cruz's camp, too. And that kind of upsets me, because there's a lot about Cruz that I don't like. For example, his stance on gay marriage, just to take a thing out of the air that I know for a fact I fucking disagree with him on. And the thing is, though, is that he's right, so far as the constitutionality goes. Because the Constitution has an amendment within it that says anything that's not covered in this document is to be left up to the states to decide for themselves. And marriage is not mentioned in the Constitution, therefore his stance of marriage should be left up to the states is constitutional. Now, that doesn't mean I agree with that. I think that the government should be out of marriage entirely. The government should not be involved in people's marriages. I don't think there should be tax benefits or penalties for being married. But there's a lot of problems with Cruz's stance. For example, there was a case a few years back where a couple of guys who were gay married in one of the states that did it before the Supreme Court case came down, because they're hipsters like that, and they just had to fucking do it before it was cool. And they were gay married in this state, and they went to Florida, and a car accident happened. They got involved in a car accident, and one of the guys was unconscious. He was basically in a coma. He wasn't able to give consent for them to operate on him and save his life. And they wouldn't recognize the authority that his husband had to tell them to go ahead, do it. And they couldn't get in touch with any of the rest of his family, and the guy wound up dying because of that. So that's a problem that can and has come up. It will come up again, I promise you. So there's a lot of problems with having the government involved in marriage at any level, and then leaving it up to the states to decide whether or not this is a legal union that they're going to recognize, which incurs all of the legal responsibilities and benefits that come along with that for straight people. I mean, my position, once again, is that the government should get out of marriage entirely. But if you're going to have legality involved in marriage, you have to apply it across the board. You cannot pick and choose. You have to do this certain thing. You have to do it for everybody. You can't just pick and choose there. No favoritism. Not with laws like that, where people's lives are on the line, essentially. But yeah, the hero worship thing is really, really fucking disturbing. Like, none of these candidates are perfect. And if you have your reasons for voting for your candidate, like, I am not a one-issue voter. I agree with Ted Cruz on a lot of things. For example, the IRS thing that he's proposing, that doesn't sound like a necessarily bad idea to me. I have to do more research on that. I like his stance on the Second Amendment. I like his stance on most of the Constitution, actually. I like the fact that he has stuck to his guns, and he is kind of kept out of the mudslinging. I don't like the fact that he made that joke about running over Donald Trump, essentially, on some fucking talk show that he went on. It's kind of hard to hold the moral high ground when you're joking about running over your opponent in the primaries. But, you know, aside from all that, he has a lot of points that I like, and he has a few points that I dislike about him. And anybody should be that way. Everybody should be that way with every candidate. There should be parts about them that you like and parts about them that you dislike. You should never, ever, if you have a candidate that you can find absolutely no fault with, on no account should you vote for that person. On no fucking account. No way. No, you should not. You should not be voting for this person. If they instill this kind of great leader feel within you, don't vote for that guy. Do not do it. It's a bad scene, man. Nobody's fucking perfect. And if you can't find something about this person that you disagree with, that should make you suspicious, because no two people are going to agree on everything. And if you agree with everything that this person says, they're probably fucking lying to you about something. And you should do a little bit more digging. I see this a lot on the Trump people, and I see it with the Hillary people and the Bernie people, most especially Trump and Bernie. It happens occasionally with Cruz, but in my experience, most Cruz voters are a little bit more circumspect. They have things that they disagree with him on. They don't envision him as the great leader. He's just kind of the best choice that we have. He's, for a lot of conservatives, he's the only true conservative on the ballot, which is true. So I can understand them factoring that into their process, but that being the sole reason that you vote for him? I mean, I was pushed towards Cruz because it's a lesser of four evils kind of thing, you know? I can't vote for anyone in the Democrat Party because Hillary's a fucking criminal and Bernie's a fucking communist, and we all know how well communism has done. And if you haven't, go look up the history of every single communist country ever. And don't come with me with, no, he's a democratic socialist. He's a democratic socialist. Things are different. Things are different. No, they're not. No, they are not. Socialism is a monster that inherently seeks to expand its own power. It happens every single time socialism is injected into a governing system. Every single fucking time. Yes, you can make the arguments that there are countries in Europe that are doing fine under socialism. Let's look at this on a big scale. Let's see how well they were doing in, 1970, and how well they're doing now. I mean, people like Bernie Sanders points to Sweden. Sweden is now, because of these socialistic progressive policies that Sweden has implemented over the past few decades, they're now the fucking rape capital of the Western world. Yeah. Yeah. That's not encouraging. You know, the whole free college thing, the whole, you know, we're going to raise your taxes. Because he is. Don't let him fucking lie to you. He is going to have to raise the taxes on the middle and lower class. There's no way in hell. And I'm not saying that Cruz's abolishment of the IRS and the flat tax, and the flat corporate tax, because they are two different things. Like, average citizens who make below a certain amount per year don't have to pay taxes, but then when you make above a certain amount a year, you have to pay 10%, everybody. And then corporations have a 16% flat tax, which he says will foster small businesses. And I think that's true. It would also probably get a lot of the bigger corporations like Apple and what was the air conditioning company that recently moved to Mexico? Haier, I think. Harrier. I think it was Harrier. They recently moved to Mexico because it's not profitable for them to do business in America anymore. It's just not fucking profitable. They can't cover the costs. They can't cover operating costs. So they move all their operations out to Mexico, where they have a lower corporate tax, and people are willing to work for less money. And boom, you know, that's how it works. And you can charge them out the ass to leave, but once they're gone, they'll start picking up profits again because they're not being taxed out the ass. And like I say, I'm just kind of getting into this whole economics thing. So this is my kind of grade school level understanding of it, because I've never really studied economics before. But the way it has been explained to me, this is what's happening. I do have a book by Milton Friedman that I've been meaning to read, but that's one of those ones that you have to set aside time for, and you have to sit down and digest that book, because he gets into a lot of shit that's very complex, and you have to make connections between everything in that book, because no chapter of that book, no single sentence is an island. Everything is interconnected, and you kind of have to step back and see the forest rather than the trees. And it's not that easy to do. But, yeah, so, what this means is that Hillary is going to win the primary. There's no way in hell that Bernie is going to be able to catch up with her. Even if the Democratic Party wasn't the undemocratic party. Because the Republican Party, the way the Republican Party works is every state has a different way of doing it. Some of them have caucuses, some of them have primaries, some of them have combinations, mixed bags. All of the states have different ways to assign their delegates, and they all assign their delegates kind of based on votes and you know, kind of what the delegates want to do. But the delegates are ultimately bound to the people. If you get a certain percentage of the popular vote in Republican states, most Republican states, then you're going to get a certain percentage of the delegates. And some of them are winner-take-all. And my state is winner-take-all. So, Trump came through and he won I think it was the plurality of the popular vote, which means he got, like, 37%. There were, like, five other people in the game. They all got varying amounts. And Trump got the most. So he took all of the delegates from my state. All of them. Because it was winner-take-all. Then there are some that do proportional. So the Republican Party is actually a lot more democratic than the Democrat Party. Because the Democrat Party has things called superdelegates, which are unbound, and are basically, the way I understand it, is that they are basically the party's method of ensuring that the people vote properly. And if the people don't vote properly, if the people get behind somebody like, say, Bernie Sanders, the superdelegates can come in and say, okay, yeah, well, you know, everybody who voted for Bernie Sanders, you're wrong. Hillary is the candidate that we're going with. And that's that. And you can take it up, you know, next time you guys get control of the Democratic Party, you can try to change the process. But for now, Hillary is the presidential candidate for the Democrats. And the people don't really get a say. So really, Trump should take all of that populist bullshit over to the Democrats, because they're the ones that fucking need it. So yeah, Bernie Sanders doesn't have a fucking chance. I know a lot of you guys like Bernie Sanders, and that's fine. You can like whoever you want. But there comes a point where you have to dig into how the political process is run and find out who actually has a chance and who doesn't. And dig into each of these candidates and find out who you're comfortable supporting and, you know, pick a person who meets both of those things. That's one of the reasons that I support Cruz. I'm comfortable supporting him. I agree with a lot of his positions. And he actually has a shot at winning. He's right on Donald Trump's heels. So it's very possible that Ted Cruz could, I mean, there's no way in hell either of them are going to get to 1237. And Donald Trump says that this is an arbitrary number. It's not arbitrary, that's the majority of the delegates for the Republican Party. The majority. You have to get to 1237 to get the majority, and if you don't have a majority, you're not the fucking nominee, and we go to a convention. A contested convention. And then there is another vote. And if they still can't decide, if no one still gets a majority, then they have another vote. And during that time, the candidates and their campaigners get to go around to all of these delegates who are voting, and they get to say, well, you know, I know you voted for Donald Trump, or I know you voted for Ted Cruz, or I know you voted for Kasich, but have you considered doing, you know, voting for us? You know, here's all of the places where we differ from Donald Trump, just think about it. And if you can convince a majority of the delegates at 1237 to come over to your side, you are the nominee. So Donald Trump is not getting shit stolen from him. Not a goddamn thing. This is the way the system works. Maybe it's a flawed system, but that's the way it works. And he knew, he fucking knew, going in, all of the rules. And if he didn't, he's even more incompetent than he has led everybody to believe so far, except for his rabid stupid fans, and his rabid fans, who are people like Milo, who are just agents of chaos, and they want to see the most chaotic thing happen possible, and Trump is a good road to chaos for these people. So the political thing is fucked. It's just all, like, the Republicans basically have to wait until the convention happens, and then hope that Cruz gets it. And the Democrats, you guys kind of just have to settle for Hillary, or switch parties. Which I'm not even sure you can do in the middle of a primary. But anyway, yeah, so the political shit happened. We're all basically fucked. That's how that goes. Then fucking Prince died. Prince fucking died. Prince! He was 57! He was only, like, 20 years older than me! Not even! Not even! He was, like, 19 years older than me. And he fucking died at his house. I cannot fucking believe it. And I'm not gonna be one of those people who, I loved his music for years! My introduction to Prince, right, was class on American popular music history that I took in college because I needed a fucking elective, and that was the only one that looked interesting. And I already knew most of the shit that was going on in that class, because I had, like, once I get into a music genre, I kind of, like, destroy it from the inside. I just break it down and I absorb it, and then, you know, just kind of had this knowledge sitting around in my head in case anybody wants to fucking test me. So I knew a lot of the heavy metal stuff, I knew a lot of the rock and roll stuff, but, I didn't know much about Prince, and then the song, because they got, like, each artist got, like, one song that was one of their big hits and everything like that, and Prince's wasn't, like, Billie Jean, it wasn't Raspberry Beret, it was fucking When Doves Cry, which isn't a bad song. Prince never wrote a bad song, but, like, listening to it at the time, I was just like, eh, this is okay, it's not really my scene, it's not really all that good. So I was never very much of a big Prince fan, but at the same time, I could look at the things that Prince had done and say, that's an icon, that's somebody who deserves, like, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame status, that's somebody who deserves all of the fans that they have, they deserve all of the accomplishments that they've gotten, he was a fucking genius, it's not my kind of music, but he deserves the esteem that is lauded upon him. And then later on down the line, my best friend's dad, oddly enough, lent me a Warren Zevon Best Of CD. And if you don't know who Warren Zevon is, I don't blame you, but you need to go look it up. He was the guy who wrote Werewolves of London. You know, Werewolves of London. You know the fucking song. Go look it up on YouTube after the podcast. Trust me. I'll put a motherfucking link down in the description. Hang on, let me make a note to do that, because if I don't make a fucking note, and my phone's off, so I gotta open up a Word document. If I don't make a note, I'm gonna fucking forget. So just give me a second here, and I'll get the old Word document open. Link to Werewolves of London. Okay. Yeah, so if you don't know who Warren Zevon is, go look up Werewolves of London, go look up Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner. But he had a side band, it was kind of his garage band project, called Hindu Love Gods. And they were great. But they did a cover of Raspberry Beret, like a rock garage band cover of Raspberry Beret by Prince. And I was really into that song. I fucking love Hindu Love God's version of that song. And the Prince version is really fucking good, too. Not as good, but I prefer that dirty, kind of grungy garage band sound to Prince's really polished stuff. But, yeah, Prince is a fucking icon, man, and it's hard to believe that he's gone. Like, we've lost everybody in 2016. We lost, like, who did we lose? We lost fucking Leonard Nimoy this year. fucking Prince. Who's gonna die next? What's his name? Guy who played Saruman? Christopher Lee? He died, I think. I'm pretty sure. I hope I'm not imagining people's deaths. Let me just... Christopher Christopher Lee. Yeah, he did. No, he died last year. In June. Damn, I'm late. I'm really late. But, yeah, God, we've lost so many people. And then I found out that China died. The fucking wrestler. China. Really, oh God, she was beautiful, man. I used to watch her back on, what was it? Was it WWF? Way back in the day. I don't think she was on WCW. She might have done, like, a guest spot. But, yeah, man, like, China died. She was a big influence out there, proving that women could do just as well as men. She was a great wrestler. Always put on a good show. It's just been a fucking crummy week all around. I don't know what the fuck happened. Can we just, like, hit the reset button? I would say, can we just hit the reset button on 2016 as a whole? But I got a job this year, and I kind of like having a job. You know, stable employment is kind of nice. Even if I do have to fucking commute. And I got this new drive for the YouTube channel, and that's going real well. I'm at about 3 months of pumping 3 videos out a week. And it feels great. So I'm not willing to hit the reset button on the whole year. I kind of like where I'm at right now. Or where I'm going, rather. Where I'm at kind of sucks. But where I'm going is a good place. But yeah, just 2016 has been fucking rough. It has been a rough, rough year. And it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. It's just... It's fucking sad, man. It's fucking sad. I do have one funny thing for you, in case you haven't been paying attention to the news headlines. And I'm gonna actually dig this up. You know what? I'm going to do it right fucking now. I'm going to do it right now so that I don't forget, because this was just too funny, and I want to put this clip into the podcast. Yeah, here we go. CNN. This is... Shit, I don't have my fucking headphones in. Hang on. I'm going to make sure that this is the right one, because I don't want to link you guys the wrong one. I'm going to put the clip in the podcast so you'll get exactly what I'm talking about, and you're not going to be all fucked up, but we're gonna, I'm just gonna, give me a second, I'm just gonna make sure that this is the right clip right here. Yeah, this is the right one. Okay, there'll be a link to the full clip in the description. It's about a minute long, from CNN's YouTube channel. But just listen, I'm gonna put it in right here. Just listen to what Donald Trump says and see if you can catch the flub.
I think what I want to do is I want to talk just for a second. I wrote this out and it's very close to my heart because I was down there. And I watch our police and our firemen down on 7-Eleven, down at the World Trade Center, right after it came down.
Did you catch it? Did you catch it? In New York! In Buffalo! He was in Buffalo, New York! His home fucking state! Trump Tower is in New York City! And he wrote it down because it was very close to his heart. And, and then he goes and says 7-Eleven. And this proves how stupid, how fucking stupid. When was this? April 18th? Was this after the voting? If this was before the voting, then this just kind of proves how dumb New Yorkers are, man. Cause how do you not immediately about face on a guy who fucks up that badly? And I mean, we've all misspoke. We've all said stuff that, and we've all said one thing and meant another, or fucked up. I do it weekly on this show. But I'm not running for president. I'm not campaigning in the state that saw one of the worst terrorist attacks of the U.S.'s history and fucking up the date. And, like, was he thinking about Slurpees? Did his like, animal mind just kind of take over there for a minute? It's like, God damn, I really want a Slurpee. I should go to 7-Eleven later. I don't know. It seems like every fucking week, Donald Trump fucks up worse. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then, like, there was the whole Lewandowski thing. With the whole Michelle Fields thing, and I did a rant on this on one of the episodes of the podcast. so I'm not going to really get into it here. If you don't know, just Google the whole Michelle Fields incident. But he was talking big shit about how, you know, he stands by his man and he's not gonna abandon Corey Lewandowski in the middle of the campaign just because he had a little scandal going on. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he fucking shit cans Lewandowski and gets a new campaign manager. The guy's a liar! He's a liar! He's a fucking outright liar, man. He's a shit human being. And he deserves to lose the election and all of his reputation for the rest of his natural-born fucking days. Oh, God, I cannot believe people are rooked by this guy. I cannot fucking believe that people are just taken in by this cult of personality that this guy has. On another light note, Cult of Personality is a great song. You should all go look up, if you're into heavy metal music, and you like black artists, Living Color, with a U, Living Color, is a black, metal band, and they don't play black metal. They're just black guys who play metal music, and they wrote a song called Cult of Personality. It was really big in the 80s, and it's a phenomenal song. They're phenomenal fucking musicians. Living Color is great. You guys should go check them out. Listen to their albums. They are the bomb shit diggity. Another good band that's comprised of all black people, if you're into this kind of music, and I love these bands, so I don't mind fucking portraying. It's not even about the whole black thing. I don't care what fucking skin color they are. I just love their fucking music, man. They are crushing it. Every single album, they fucking crush it, is a Fishbone. Fishbone is insane. They have one of the most talented bassists in the history of ska music. But they don't just do ska. That's the great thing about Fishbone, is that they do spirituals, they do metal, they do rock, they do, like I said, ska. They're just so diverse and so fucking talented. Like, every single member of that band is stupidly talented. The lead singer, just as an example, the lead singer, he sings, he raps, he plays the fucking trumpet, and he plays the theremin. And if you guys don't know what a fucking theremin is, hang on, I'm just gonna take this link right here and put it in the Word document, and look up a theremin right quick so that you guys, or even better, I'm just going to look up Fishbone theremin. Let me see if I can find a, Dr. Mad Vibe, that's his name. Yeah, wait, where'd I put my fucking headphones at? Let me see if this is a good one. But the theremin is an insane instrument. It's fucking nuts. I'll look up a thing after I... Yeah, the guy looks like he's a fucking wizard while he's playing it. Because the theremin... What the theremin is It's a box that has a bunch of wires, like metal tubes and knobs and stuff like that. And it's an electronic instrument where you like wave your hands at it, and it makes noise. And it's an insanely hard instrument to master and use effectively, because if you just like wave your hands around it, it's just going to make a bunch of random fucking sounds. It's not. Okay, here we go. From Wikipedia. The theremin, originally known as the etherphone, or thereminophone, or terminvox, or thereminvox, is an early electronic musical instrument controlled without physical contact by the thereminist performer. It is named after the westernized name of its Russian inventor, Leon Theremin, who patented his device in 1928. The instrument's controlling section usually consists of two metal antennae that sense the relative position of the thereminist's hands and control oscillators for frequency with one hand and amplitude or volume with the other. The electric signals from the theremin are amplified and sent to a loudspeaker. So yeah, you just kind of wave your hands at this thing, and it makes music, and it's really, really hard to get good sound out of a theremin. Like, you have to train with this for a long fucking time to be able to use it effectively as a musical instrument. And he just gets up on stage, and he's just, like, waving his hands and adjusting dials and singing and playing trumpet at the same time. It's, like, oh, God, it's just insane. The guitarist from Fishbone is out of this world. He is right up there with, like, pick your guitar god. He's right up there with him. He's, like I said, the bassist is one of the best guys who ever picked up the instrument. The drummer is phenomenal. I love this guy. I wish I could drum half as well as this dude does. For those of you who don't know, I'm a drummer. So I have a real serious admiration for good drummers who know when to back off, who know when to come down hard, who know when to add in a fill and when to stay silent and when to go along with the beat and when to venture out into the weeds. And drumming isn't as simple as a lot of people. I make the joke that originally I heard this in Fim Flam Philosophy's playthrough of, I want to say Soul Reaver 2, but it might have been Pony Fantasy, which are great videos. But he makes the joke that he's only a drummer, he doesn't play music, he just stands next to music and hits things with sticks. And that's true for a lot of drummers. It was true for me for the longest time. But if you study drumming and you get into drumming as craft, then there's a lot more complexity to it than people give it credit for. And the guy from Fishbone understands that so very, very well. And the music shows. It really does show. So yeah, if you're looking for a couple of really good bands to listen to that you might not have heard before, check out Fishbone and Living Color. Also, look up Warren Zevon. Because Warren Zevon is one of those guys who, not a lot of people really know who he is. Like, everybody knows Werewolves of London. Everybody's heard that song. But nobody really knows Warren Zevon. Warren Zevon is one of those musicians that musicians listen to, but not a lot of regular workaday people really listen to. And it's not like it's some special achievement to listen to Warren Zevon's music or anything like that. But He's just not really that popular. And, like, his one song that got really fucking popular was Werewolves of London, and he wound up hating that fucking song because he has so many better ones out there. And I get the same thing with a lot of bands, man. Like, Modest Mouse is really good. Is really, really fucking good. A Good Time for People Who Like Bad Times. I think that was the name of the album. Now I'm gonna have to fucking look this up, too. Modest. No, that's not how you spell Modest, dude. Discography. Let's see if we can get a good one. Okay, yeah, here we go. Good News for People Who Love Bad News. That's the name of the album. That was the one that Float On came off of. But the rest of their stuff is fucking amazing. Like, The Lonesome Crowded West is one of the best albums I've ever heard. The Moon in Antarctica is, like, these guys never released a bad album. Never. Not once. They never wrote a bad song. The only song by them I don't really like, I mean, I enjoy it, but it's, like, one of those where if I don't really want to listen to it, I'll skip it, is Cowboy Dan. And that's just, that one has got so much fucking rage in it. Excuse me, I need to readjust. Like, there's so much anger in that fucking song. And it's not a bad song because of that. It's just, it's not like heavy metal anger. It's like, no, I'm pissed because I had a shitty fucking life, and fuck you, I'll slit your fucking throat if you even try to look at me and say a nice thing kind of anger. It's not that played up anger for clicks or for hits or trying to capitalize on it. Like, that guy was legitimately fucking angry when he wrote a lot of his music. Which makes sense. I mean, Isaac Brock basically lived in a fucking tool shed for the longest time. But, yeah, Modest Mouse is another great band. I'm just gonna go ahead and talk about music until I run out the fucking time on this podcast, because I love talking about music. I could talk your ear off about music, and I'm going to. So settle back. So Slayer came out with a new album, and I was really depressed for, like, 2 weeks there for a while, because Jeff Hanneman died, man. And I know that this is old news, but, I'm going to look up exactly when... No, I don't want to buy a theremin. Well, I mean, I do want to buy a theremin just to kind of dick around with it, but... I mean, oh, God, those are expensive. The cheapest one is $160 on Reverb.com. Jesus Christ. But, yeah, Jeff Hanneman. 2013. Yeah, he died in 2013. Fucking 3 years ago? It can't have been that long. Holy shit. Oh my God. Like, he was with them from the beginning, man. He was the guy. He was the fucking guitarist for Slayer. He was the other guitarist. Because they had Kerry King, who was, like, their main songwriter for the longest time. And Jeff Hanneman was they both did rhythm and lead. So you could never really pin down which one was more important. They were both important to the Slayer sound, kind of. You know, it was... They all came together to make that happen. And it was... Well, Slayer was one of those groups that had a revolving door drummer. Like, every couple of albums, they would get a new drummer, just because I guess the drummer couldn't handle it. Which makes sense, because Slayer is some of the most difficult drum riffs to play. Like, they are... Fast. And they go for a long fucking time. Like, Slayer will burn you out as a drummer. Quick. It wouldn't surprise me at all if their sets were only, like, 40 minutes long. But they got a new guitarist after Hanneman died. May he rest in peace, by the way. And that guy's really good. Like, I've watched live videos of him playing guitar. Because, really, if you want to... And this is something that bugged me for the longest time, is I didn't like live albums. You know, because the audience kind of gets in the way, and, oh, they're cheering, and you can't hear the music, and there's audio fuck-ups and foibles and stuff like that. But if you want a metric of how good a band really is live, look at their live shit. That's why I can't really take Black Crowes seriously. Because, they smoke so much weed. Like, no, seriously, I'm being dead serious here. Like, Black Crowes, you guys know who Black Crowes are. I'm gonna just look up a couple other songs. I should be able to know them by heart, but it's been a while since I've listened to Black Crowes. Black Crowes... with an E, like C-R-O-W-E-S. Let me see here. Black Crowes, we'll just go to Wikipedia. Remedy. I need a remedy for what's ailing me. Yeah, and they did She Talks to Angels. That's a song that everybody knows. Hard to Handle, Jealous Again, Twice as Hard. Just an amazing studio band. Like, they are one of the best blues rock bands ever in the studio. In the studio. But you listen to their live shit, and it's just like, wow, you guys are high, man. You guys are high. Y'all can barely find your instruments. I get the feeling that they just kind of have handlers, like, standing off to the side, like, waiting to, like, slap them upside the head when they fall asleep. It's bad, man. They're really talented, which is sad, because they're really good songwriters, they're really talented musicians, but they just cannot play a live show to save their asses. It's sad. But yeah, Slayer put out a new album, and they have a new song, which is You Against You, I think. Let me see here. Yeah, I think that's it. Let me just check right quick. Having to look up a lot of stuff this podcast. Yeah, You Against You. I'll put a link to that one in the description too, because they made a little movie out of it. It's this badass action movie type thing. It looks like a fucking Quentin Tarantino flick. I'm gonna be totally honest. It's awesome. And you guys should all go watch it. But they haven't lost a goddamn thing, despite the fact that, like, Kerry King and... what's his fuck? Oh, God, now I can't remember the guy's name. Oh, this is embarrassing. I've been listening to Slayer since I was 16, and I can't remember the fucking bassist singer's name. It wasn't Jeff. Ted. Oh, God damn it. Tom Araya, that's it. Yeah, despite the fact that Tom Araya just looks tired, and he's got this huge beard, like the kind of beard that I wish that I could grow. I'm trying, but I can't get the cheek parts right. Like, they're coming in, but they're not, it's not really working out. But I've been wanting a big beard for a while now, and I'm working on it. But he's just got this huge beard, and he's all got gray hairs and shit, and he's just fucking tired looking. But he's still sitting there belting it out, just like he did when he was fucking 20. It was ridiculous. Really, really good music. They haven't lost a goddamn thing. I'm really happy that Slayer is still in the game so far as music goes. Like, God Hates Us All is... Slayer is also, like, one of those weird bands, like, weird shit happens around them. Like, God Hates Us All, for example, just as a for instance. God Hates Us All was published on September 11th, 2001. That album came out the day of the Twin Towers attacks. The day. And everybody was like, you know, oh my God, no, there's been this horrible terrorist attack. It's a tragedy for the nation. We have to push back the date of the album. We can't release the album on this. And Slayer overrode them, and they were like, no, this kind of proves our fucking point. This kind of, like, this makes it more badass. No, we're going to release the album today. And they fucking did. Oh God, this is one of the funniest fucking things. Oh God. On music. Yeah, it released on September 11th, 2001. The band received its first Grammy nomination for the lead track, Disciple. Disciple is awesome. Disciple is amazing. That's one of my favorite Slayer songs of all time. That album helped me through my crisis of faith a long time ago. Like, back... well, I'm not going to get into that, but, like, I had... suffice to say, I had a crisis of faith when I was around 18, 19. And that album really helped me deal with the anger that I was feeling at the time. Towards a lot of different places. Slayer was a good, good outlet for that kind of thing. It felt like I wasn't the only one who was angry. That I had good reasons to be angry. They kind of validated my feelings. You know what I mean? I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm very, very into music. I don't know if you could tell by the way I've been going on about it for the past 20 minutes. But, music is one of those things that's like, I hate to use this phrase, but like, in my soul. Like, I identify with music. I use music as an emotional outlet. I enjoy music as just like entertainment and something to, you know, snap your fingers to and shit like that, but there are certain bands like Slayer and Everclear and Modest Mouse and a few others that just like I just identify with this music. It speaks to me. That's the only way I can really put it. I don't know, saying that Slayer, which is a gimmick band. I mean, that's not to say that, like, you know, Kerry King and all them's grievances with Christianity and whatever weren't legitimate. But that was a gimmick. Everybody knows that was a fucking gimmick. That was a gimmick, like the fucking Kiss makeup was a gimmick. It was, you know, you have a fucking album called Rain in Blood with the cover art that they had on that album. And you're going to sit there and have a song called Jesus Saves, which is completely just bashing Christianity in the face. And you're going to pretend like this isn't a gimmick? Yeah, no, you're fucking pulling my leg. You're shitting me. There's no way that's not a gimmick. That's a gimmick like Venom is a gimmick. Which is another good band. They're one of those black metal bands that expressly did it because it was a gimmick. They were trying to capitalize off of it. But they're not actually bad songwriters. They're not actually bad musicians. And the whole persona thing. Like Venom was very influential on bands like Metallica and Slayer and Megadeth and just a lot of thrash metal from the 80s is influenced by Venom, and their influence really does run deep in that genre. So as hokey as they are, Venom isn't actually a bad band, and they've got a few good albums out there. But yeah, we've been going for about an hour. I want to let you guys know. I need time to work on the audiobooks. Like usually I would just record it on Sunday and edit it and put everything together and then just upload it that night and make it public on Monday. But I'm getting to the point where I have like a backlog, so I have time to work, so I'm trying to get as much work done as possible so I keep having this backlog, so that if I come down with an illness or something, then you guys still have something that's going to go up and won't sound like complete shit because I'm sick and congested and whatever. A Study in Scarlet 1, that's going to be the next audiobook. I've already started recording it. I'm enjoying it so far. It's going to be very interesting. I'm having to come up with voices for Sherlock and Watson and everything like that, but it's not a bad book. I really enjoyed it. I have read it before a long, long time ago. But it's good to get away from the like science fiction stuff and get into like mystery and detective thriller and the original detective thriller novel. So that's what's going to happen with that. Just because I can't really afford to let the voting go on until the end of The Time Machine. Which, don't forget, Monday. New chapter. And the epilogue to The Time Machine is short, but I am making it its own video. Just to give myself some more breathing room. Because I do want to make sure that this is good, and I might have to go and re-record this part that I have recorded already. After that, I'm planning on doing The Book of Five Rings by Miyamoto Musashi. Because that's another book that is one of those, like, Wisdom of the Ancients kind of thing. And it really did help me a lot. Not necessarily with the whole crisis of faith thing that I was bringing up earlier. I'm not going to get into that. But it kind of helped me master myself. And I think that a lot of people could benefit from the things that Musashi teaches in that book. So I'm going to be doing an audiobook of that next, after A Study in Scarlet. And A Study in Scarlet is long. That's going to be like 14 weeks right there, because it's got two parts, and they're both seven chapters long. But that's going to be fun. And then, like, the narrations will continue apace. Still waiting to hear back from a couple of authors, but I've got a backlog of a whole bunch of shit that I wanted to do. I was also listening to some of Barnabas Demos's old narrations. Like, I actually had to go, if you go back and you watch Barney's first video, you cannot hear it on YouTube. I don't care how loud your sound goes, you cannot hear the fucking thing. So I had to go in. And it's called Sing, and it's an amazing story. It is so good. And it's really sad. I think he re-recorded that one. But I had to go in and take that MP3 into my editor and bump up the volume so that I could put it on my on my iPhone and listen to it while I was at work. And I listened to it today, and I was just like, God damn, I want to do this story. I really want to do this fucking story. But the only problem is that the guy is a singer in the story, and at the very end of the story, he actually does do a line of singing. And I can't sing like Barney. Barney's just good. He's just good. I cannot sing like that, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that one. I can try, but I don't know if I want to subject you guys to that torture, because it's... Well, you're talking about how he's a baritone, and I'm not. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. I don't even know what kind of singer I am, honestly. But, mostly I stick to, like, rock stuff when I try to sing, or sing in the car and shit like that. I stick to rock music, because I can't hit high highs. I have trouble hitting low lows, and making it sound decent. So, I don't know. I can try. I can try and sing, but it's not going to come off as well as Barney's. So I don't know. I might work around that. I might actually see if I could go to Barney and ask him if he'd be willing to sing it. And then I'll just do the narration and just cut that little bit with him singing in the in at the end. But we'll see what happens. But Barney is an amazing writer, and I really want to do a bunch of his stories. Like, I Still Love You is really good. That's not as good as it gets. That's not nearly as good as it gets. Go listen to his original narrations up on his channel. I'll link Barney's channel in the fucking description. Barney's amazing. Everything about that dude is just fucking phenomenal. His voice is goddamn chocolate. It's just like ear sex, man. But, yeah, so about, on the iTunes stuff, I didn't have my computer on Wednesday, so I didn't get to do anything about that. I'm gonna try and get some of that done this weekend, but I have a lot of house chores that I gotta do. So that might not get done this weekend. I might have to wait till next Wednesday. But on next Wednesday, I have to try and take my car into the shop. And I have to take my cat, my little cutie kitty cat, to the vet and get her a checkup, make sure that she's doing okay. Because I think she has ear mites again. She's been scratching her ears funny. So I want to get that taken care of, because, you know, I know how bad it is to have, like, a constant itch. Like, I live with athlete's foot. I know how it is to have a constant itch that you can't get fucking rid of. And I don't want her to have to fucking deal with that. Yes, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you on the podcast. You want to come over here and say hello to the people? You want to come over here and say hi? She's staring at me funny. She's got this, like, what the fuck are you doing look on her face. It's the most adorable thing. She's not going to come over here and say hi. Sorry, guys, I tried. She looks very confused. But yeah, I'm going to try and get, the stuff uploaded to archive.org this weekend. It might happen, it might not. It all depends on what's going on and whether or not I have time. Because Saturday night is fucking Pathfinder night, and I can't skip out on Pathfinder night because shit just started to get good. Like, really good. Like, Doom put together an amazing, amazing campaign. Like, I halfway want to fucking stream this shit, but our fucking, it goes on almost as long as the damn YouTube kind of Google Hangout thing will let you go. Like, you have an 8-hour hard limit on Google Hangouts, and we go from about, I don't know, 9 o'clock my time, EST, to about 3 or 4 in the morning. Which really sucks for some of the people involved in this campaign, because they live in Europe. But we'll have to see how the iTunes thing goes. I'm gonna try and get it uploaded this weekend. We'll see. But hopefully by the next episode of the podcast, we will be on iTunes. And if you guys would go, once I get it set up, if you guys would go and follow and leave reviews and I guess thumbs up or however the fuck the iTunes thing works, I would really appreciate it. And recommend to your friends if you enjoy what I do, if you enjoy the audiobooks, if you enjoy the narrations and the audio dramas that I put together, that I have so much fun putting together. It's just, oh god. I never thought this would be my passion, guys. Let this be a lesson to you. Let this be a fucking lesson to you. I did not find out that this was something that I wanted to do for part of my living. And if I had my way, it would be my living. That would be all I would do. It would be sit here and just record, find stories, record them, put together soundscapes and sound effects and good music and just do that for my bread and butter. That would be awesome. That would be the dream right there. I never thought that I would be doing this. Like, for the longest time, like, when I was young, I thought I was going to be a paleontologist. When I was in college, I thought I was going to be a religious sociologist. Then I started doing this while I was in college, and I didn't take it all that seriously because I had college. But now I have a bunch of free time, and I don't have to work on my off time. I don't have to study or do anything like that. And this is just so much fun. You never know what you're going to love doing until you go out and fucking try it. So let that be a lesson to you. Another lesson from old Uncle Jimbo. You never know what your passion is going to be until you go out and try what you think is going to make you happy. And this right here, doing this with you guys every week and putting together these narrations and doing these audiobooks makes me very, very happy. It is a good reason to wake up in the morning. And I need something to do with my fucking time. I'm not going to get married, I'm not going to have kids, so I got to have something to fill the time with, and this is as good a fucking thing as any, and it actually makes me happy to do it, so fuck it. This is what we're doing. But yeah, I'm going to try and get the shit up on iTunes, I'm going to try and get the Time Machine up on Bandcamp, so you guys can just get lossless. I'm going to put it up in Wave. I gotta go back in and edit everything, because the way that I do it on YouTube, it's like a serial thing, you know what I mean? And, it has to have the whole introduction, and, you know, the music, and the, you know, what have you, just to kind of like keep everybody up to pace with what's going on, and just start it out, because you don't want to start the video up and just have no introduction, and just throw people into shit. But on the audiobook, the actual audiobook that you will be able to go to Bandcamp and download, it'll just go like chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, no intro music, no, you know, The Time Machine by H.G. Wells kind of thing. None of that. It'll just go straight read through, basically. It'll still have the record static thing, just because there's problems that the static covers up, like it covers up mouth noises and it covers up things in the audio. I kind of use it to my advantage, but it's still good shit, I think, and that's going to be going up on Bandcamp soon. I'm gonna try and get the rest of my narrations up on Bandcamp too. It's so much fucking work, and I'm just one guy. I'm just a one man show doing this for the love of it. So I hope you guys enjoy what I'm doing, and I hope that you guys will tell your friends, if you would not mind. Share it on the social media. Some of you probably have way greater reach than I do. And visit the blog spot. There's not really a whole lot going on there, but I don't know. I'm thinking about doing a fucking response video to a thing. Because I was listening to Ragin'ing on Honey Badger Radio today, and they did this, like, video about nice guys. And I really, really want to rip into this. Like, really badly want to rip into this. Just want to tear it apart, get right into the meat, suck the marrow out of the bones kind of thing. But we'll have to see how that goes. I want to do it, but I've got so much other fucking work to do. We'll have to see. But yeah, thank you guys very much for listening. I really do appreciate you taking time out of your finite lives to listen to the drunken ramblings of this total failure at life, the universe, and everything. And I hope that you guys enjoyed it. I hope that you guys had fun playing along. I hope that you guys will share it around, tell your friends, tell people you don't even like. You know, it's like that Aqua Teen Hunger Force quote. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell people you don't even like. I'll do anything for money. But yeah, I hope you guys have been enjoying yourselves this here podcast, and I hope you will tune in next time. And thank you very much for listening. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out, and I love you all.